The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came, sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slave said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. But both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You hear me say over and over that we live in a dark and broken world, and the parable that we just heard affirms all of that. That even the nature of the church is not perfect by any means, but it's both holy and sinful. There is brokenness. There are weeds here, and it's a problem. There are weeds in the church, in the world, just causing us problems. And these weeds put wedges between us and God. They dehumanize our neighbor. They justify greed. They make idolatry a virtue. And there are times throughout the history of the church into the present where it feels as if these weeds have penetrated the walls of the church to such a point where it's taken over, sucking the new life out of God's holy people. But when human beings come to terms with the world being broken, whether religious or not, there is an impulse thinking that we alone can fix this. Not only do we have an idea that we can fix it, but we might even believe that we're better at fixing it than God is capable of fixing things.
We want nothing more than to get rid of these weeds, to cut them down and burn them, to destroy them. But once we start weeding, where do we stop? Where do we draw the line? Our enemies might be easy to weed out, but what about our friends? What about our family? What happens when someone says that you or me are a weed and need to be gone? When it's up to us to weed, it gets dangerous. Think of what a broken humanity wants to weed out. We ended up weeding out Christ himself, did we not? For whatever reason, in the parable today, there's an affirmation that weeds and wheat are together in both church and world. But our focus must be centered in growing in the kingdom, not obsessed on what needs to be weeded out. Because as the parable seems to indicate, even with the best of intentions, we might cause more harm than good when trying to determine what should be gone and what should remain. And God's justice is to make things right in the end. Jesus' sense of justice and judgment is not what we are often satisfied with. And that seemed to frustrate many people in Jesus' ministry. That he did not judge in a way that others would have hoped. That he didn't weed out those people on the margins so they'd just be gone for good. That he would remove those who were in the in-group that really didn't belong in the fold. So the one who has the authority to judge, ironically, was judged, sentenced, and weeded out by a broken humanity. But Jesus chose to dwell with the weeds and the wheat. Weeds and wheat that for every reason are together in God's kingdom on God's farm. Which means that the weeds and the wheat are mingled together and they both get sunlight and rain. Which reminds me of Martin Luther's explanation of the petition in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us today our daily bread." Luther writes, "In fact, God gives daily bread without our prayer, even to all evil people. But we ask in this prayer that God cause us to recognize what our daily bread is and to receive it with thanksgiving." Even to all evil people. The weeds and the wheat are mingled together and both receive sunlight, rain, and daily bread. So our job is not to weed, but to grow and receive God's love, mercy, and forgiveness. That's what enables us to grow deeper in love towards God and to one another. Because to be the judge, I don't know if you like that. It's a burden. Having to figure all that out. Christ is freeing us from this. You don't need to worry about this. You just be wheat. You just be a child of God, growing in the Son of Righteousness. I know when we first became foster parents, that was one of the things we had to convey to our oldest, is just be a kid. Because they were so consumed in having to do things that a three-year-old shouldn't have to do. Have to worry about things that a three-year-old shouldn't have to worry about. Jesus is saying to us here, don't worry about these things. Be a child of God. Grow in the Son of Righteousness. I'm taking care of the big things. So we have the reality that there are two kinds of disciples, and our destiny as disciples will be revealed in the judgment. And that judgment of God seems delayed, and that's frustrating. Because I agree with the saying, justice delayed is justice denied. But it's also important to note that there are two other parables in between. We didn't read them today, but in Matthew 13 that we skipped over. The parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. Patrick Wilson elaborates a little bit when he writes, "Jesus did not say that the kingdom was like a rock, fixed and solid and firm and unchanging. Jesus did not say that the kingdom was like a giant machine, that you put some things in and you get some things out, and what you get depends on what you put in. He said it was like an enormous tree that grows out of a tiny seed, a tree that grows so enormous that all the birds of the air can come and find shelter in its branches, even strange little ducks like you and me. He said that God was like a housewife who puts a smidgen of yeast in the 3 measures of flour, and that yeast yields its life into a whole batch of dough. That is the way of the kingdom is, growing from the very beginning into all that God has intended. From the foundation of the world, the very first moment of creation, it is the kingdom that has been on God's mind, and God is infinitely patient as it grows. So that delay that I get frustrated with is a reminder of God's patience. And Paul says in Romans that love is patient, that notorious passage that we often hear at weddings, the first description of love is patience. I think we all can agree with that. Yet we shouldn't confuse the existence of weed in church and society as a reason to be complacent. Because I think there are some of us who might like to avoid conflict that would love this parable and say, good, God's going to sort it out in the end. I don't have to do anything. I can avoid all the hard stuff. We should not take God's patience and that God's judgment as an excuse to be complacent. Letting God take care of the ultimate weeding does not mean we get to be passive in what it means to grow and share the love of Jesus. Because when we are passive, when we are complacent, we are allowing the weeds in church and world to overcome us. And so that all that people will see of God's holy church are nothing but weeds. But we have been watered with God's love through those waters of holy baptism, and we are daily rising to new life in Christ. And if we walk away with the acknowledgement that God is not only patiently tolerating the weeds, but patiently tolerating and loving you and me, that even caring for the marginalized and the oppressed in our midst is something that God cares about. If daily bread is for even the evil people, then surely God loves those who are pushed to the margins and who are oppressed, who experience injustice. And if we follow the way of Jesus, then that isn't delayed in the present. We should care for everybody that God loves, even those weeds, to ensure that daily bread is received by all the people of the world. So by no means is this a call to keep our hands off and just wait for God to sort it out, because God's work in God's kingdom is underway. But the good news is that we're not God in the process. We don't know what God can do with any seed that is planted. And God knows the fruit that any of us can and will produce. That's why we're not the ones doing the weeding. But we are the ones that are growing, loving, spreading and sharing the divine love of God's kingdom that is here and that is to come. Let me tell you, I am grateful for so many people in my 40 years on earth to be patient with me, to teach me, to give me space to grow and to see where I might have been wrong in assuming or believing certain things. I am grateful for your patience in the 12 years that I've been an ordained minister in loving and patiently showing me things that I did not know. That patience is a two-way street, by the way, right? I've been patient with you as well. Think about the patience and the love that gives people the opportunity to grow and to see much more, to get to places that we didn't think that we could be in this world. That's what it means to follow the way of Jesus, to follow the command to love, to imitate Christ in the world, that they might see Jesus. They might see these holy people of God mingled with the weeds of the world and wonder why they can be so lovingly patient with everyone. And as people of hope, we long for the day where God's justice and judgment will reign in the new heaven and the new earth. So our focus on what God is doing now is important. God only knows what any one of us will ultimately produce. And if we are continually transformed by God's waters of mercy and forgiveness, we may bear witness to the kingdom that is already here and that is to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.